In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This reading about the paralytic, or excuse me, about the deaf and dumb spirit in the boy, is here for a specific reason. It's actually not because of the story that's the most prominent part of the gospel. It's actually because of two other things the Lord said. So I just want to point that out first, because we should be scripturally literate and we should understand why the church has selected the readings that are selected for various times of the year. We are approaching Holy Week. We're very close now. And the Lord, in this reading, was very close too. He was going to Jerusalem, and this was going to be his last Pascha. He is telling his disciples over and over that he's going to be crucified, and they're not hearing him. They're just not understanding. It's a very good thing for a pastor to read, or for a parent to read, because many times you say things to your children and they don't understand. And you kind of wonder, like, why don't they get it? It's pretty obvious. Or a pastor thinks, why don't they get it? It's pretty obvious. But then again, God must say about me, why don't I get it? It's pretty obvious. There's so many things that we don't know because we are ignorant, often willfully so, or perhaps because we just don't yet have the smarts. We just don't have the wisdom to be able to understand something. Every one of us is in a different place, and some of us know a little, some of us know maybe a little bit more than a little. Nobody knows a lot. And so at the end of the gospel, he's saying, or St. Mark is talking about him, "For he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day." Very obvious to us, because we have history on our side, and we know that the Lord ascended the cross, then he descended into Hades, and then he rose again on the third day. And then he sent his Holy Spirit to us on the 50th day, on Pentecost, after having ascended into the heavens. We know all these things, but they didn't. So what things does God tell us that we don't really know? He tells us over and over again that if we love him, we love his children. And yet we don't love his children. We judge his children, or are angry towards his children, or have resentment, or feel better than somebody else, or whatever. It's a very common sin. Probably there's absolutely nobody in this room that is not guilty of this sin, of judging others, or in some way not loving your brother. But it's obvious. If we say we love God, then we love our neighbor, and even our enemy. Because our enemy is still our neighbor. And yet we don't know these things. So why is it that we don't know these things? That's a very mysterious question, a very hard thing to answer. Why is it that things that are so obvious and so true do we not do? That's an important question to answer in the course of your life. The other reason why this gospel is apropos for this period of time as the Lord's going to Jerusalem is because he says something that sounds harsh, and it sounds mean-spirited if you don't understand. So the man has brought his boy to Jesus. This is after Jesus has come off the mountain, off Mount Tabor, with his three disciples, and he was transfigured. So he was gone for a little bit of time, showing his divinity to his disciples, three of them, so that when he was crucified, although they would be frightened and they'd run away, they wouldn't completely lose heart, because they would have that remembrance that indeed this person who most of the time looks just like a man and bleeds like a man, and when he was put on the cross he died like a man, is actually man and God, because he showed them his divinity on Mount Tabor. So during that period of time, this man had brought his boy, who was demon-possessed with a deaf and dumb spirit that actually tried to hurt him in many ways, throwing him into fire, throwing him into water, doing crazy things to him to get him hurt and killed. And the disciples couldn't cast the demon out. They'd done it many times before. The Lord had sent them away alone in twos to minister. And they had cast out demons. They had raised the dead. They had done all these things, but suddenly there was this one, and they couldn't do anything about it. And so the man had his last hope to go to Christ. So he goes to Christ and says, they couldn't cast him out. He kind of gets a shot at them, which wasn't really very nice. That's really not the way you should go beg someone for help is to say, well, you know, your disciples, they couldn't do it. But he did that. And then the Lord gives this answer that sounds mean, but it's actually in the spirit of the period of time that we are in. He says, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Well, calling them faithless is not mean, it's just true. Which one of us can say we have full faith? Which one of us, if the Lord says we are faithless, we would say, oh no, Lord, I'm faithful. Which one of us would be arrogant and stupid enough to say that? Of course we're faithless. Yes, we have some faith. But if we had true faith, then we would love all men. And we wouldn't judge anyone. And we would never be lazy. And we would never have lustful thoughts. And we would never do anything that's against the gospel, against the commandments. So by this definition, and that's what faithful is, we are faithless. And so he says, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? That's hinting that he's not going to be with them for very much longer, because he's going to go to Jerusalem, be tried in a false trial, and then ascend the cross, and then do all the rest. Descend into Hades, break the bars of Hades, break the connection between sin and death, make us capable of being resurrected by resurrecting himself, teaching his disciples for a little while longer, 40 days on the earth, ascending, showing that our human flesh will ascend to be with God, and then sending his Holy Spirit 10 days after the ascension, which completely established the church, strengthened the church, which was already established but needed this additional help. Without the Holy Spirit, we can't do anything. So that's why this gospel is here, for these two reasons, for these two verses, that this is the time in which we find ourselves, the same time frame of this gospel. But that question that I just asked you about is a very important question to answer. Why is it that we don't get stuff? Why is it that we don't love our brother like we should? Why is it that we're lazy? Why is it that we don't say our prayers that well? Why is it that those kinds of things happen? I think that the rest of the story helps to explain this. Not really why is it, but how do you fix it? That's the most important answer, don't you think? Why is it that we sin? Well, I'd rather know how not to sin. That's what I'd rather know. If you give me two choices, find out why I sin versus how to stop sinning, I'll pick how to stop sinning, and I think you will too. And so the answer to how to stop sinning is in this gospel. So the boy is being thrown into fire and water, being hurt, and the man says, can you help me? And the Lord says, everything's possible to those that believe. And the man says, I believe, but help my unbelief. So here's the answer. The answer is follow Christ, and he will help you. And then it's further explained at the end, because the disciples come to Christ and they're embarrassed. Honestly, they're just embarrassed. They couldn't do what they were supposed to be able to do and cast this demon out. So they go to the Lord asking, why couldn't we do it? And he says, well, because of your faith. You have weak faith. But then he says, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. Now, you can take those things literally, absolutely. They should be taken literally. You should pray and you should fast. But even more fundamentally than praying and fasting, you should lean completely on the Lord. You should say, I can't do anything without God helping me in everything. I have a little bit of faith, but not very much. Not enough to accomplish anything. I do believe, but I don't believe enough. So help my unbelief. Now, perhaps you might struggle against something all of your life. And a faithful Christian, that is faithful by the little definition of faithful, having a little bit of faith, at least some faith, and acting on that faith, that faithful Christian will struggle all of his life and never stop believing that the Lord will deliver him. That's really the key to a successful life, is to cleave to the Lord and to beg him to help you. It's as simple as that. And here it is in the gospel. This is also the reason why we fast. We fast because we have troubles that we can't solve. And fasting helps our spirit be more intelligent. It opens us up to the mercy of God more. I mean, God is always merciful. God's grace is always present. His divine light is shining right now, and yet we don't see him. And often we don't feel him. We don't see him and feel him because there's things inside us that are closed up because of our ignorance or because of our sin. Perhaps it's willful, perhaps it's unwillful. It's just this combination of stuff because we're kind of complex, messed up creatures. And so the grace of God is present, but we don't know how to hold on to this grace. Fasting helps open us up a little bit to be able to feel this grace and to be able to hold on to it. If you do it on a regular basis, you'll believe me and you'll say, Father Seraphim's right. Well, actually, it's not me that's right. It's the church that's right. This is a church's teaching. But if you do it a little bit and not very much and you're kind of haphazard, you might not see the results. The same thing with prayer and the same thing with struggling to forgive your brother. And the same thing with struggling to do all of the commandments. If you do them haphazardly, you might not see very much results. But if you're constantly struggling, and this is what I mean by not doing them haphazardly, I don't mean that you're always following all the commandments, because if you were doing that, then you'd be shining with the uncreated light through you like the saints and the icons right now. So obviously, we're not able to always do the right thing. But if you're always wanting to do the right thing and struggling to do the right thing, I think that's the real key to Christian life, is to try. To try, to not succeed a lot, or perhaps often not succeed, but to try. And that's what this gospel is teaching. Here we have the Lord saying obvious things to his disciples and they don't get it at all. And the Lord is saying obvious things to us and we don't get it at all. But we do have one thing. We have the Holy Spirit abiding in us, and we can say to the Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And if you come to the Lord with that kind of attitude, either exact words like that, or with your attitude like that, then the Lord will help you. It's as simple as that. May God help us.